We're going to take some questions from the floor now on anything that you've just heard from Pam or myself. Yes, please. If you can just say your name.
Sean Levy. I'm chairman of the Sustainable Farming and Food Board for the region. I can't let this opportunity pass without thanking you, Chairman, for the interest you've taken in the land-based sector during your time as chairman. It has been enormously appreciated. Mindful that about 80% of this region's land mass is in agriculture, horticulture, and forestry use, and some of it surprisingly high-tech use, and mindful also of the priority which the government is now giving to food security, I wonder if, through you, Chairman, I could ask Councillor Mitchell, who has the rural portfolio, how he sees CEDA supporting the land-based sector in the year ahead. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for the question, Sean. CEDA is having to refocus and reprioritise in all areas, and that does include land-based. It is an important part of our economy here. We will continue to support land-based industry, but we are going to have to focus on that which brings the greatest value added to the economy, and we are probably going to be doing less in total, as we are in many areas, but that focus on the parts of the land-based industry that can offer most for the region is where we'll be concentrating. And I know you'll be pushing very hard to make sure we get that right, and I'll be pleased to work with you.
I think also we will be creating a new sector group, which is land-based, and I hope that the horticultural industries and the other land-based industries will support that sector grouping.
Chairman, my name is Peter York from the Civic Trust South East. If I could comment on something that I don't think we did here, which is the South East Plan. One of our difficulties as a sort of an amenity association is where is the democratic input? The South East Plan covers a much greater area than just economic development. That is, a lot of us living in communities are concerned about congestion, about the housing targets, about green belt protection. And I may be out of order here, but I didn't hear anything about that, and it may be not your role, I don't know. But it'd be very interesting to know where this has gone and to whom you're accountable about these aspects of the South East Plan.
Yes, I think sometimes because we've got SE in the front of our name, we can be sometimes mixed up with the Assembly. It's the Assembly that put the South East Plan together. We're responsible for the regional economic strategy. Going forward, I hope, and Councillor Paul Carter will talk a little bit about that in a minute. Going forward, we hope to merge those two plans so that we do get some bringing together of the spatial plan and the economic plan. But Keith, you presided over the South East Plan.
Yes, Jim. I was as much the author of the South East Plan as I guess the other 111 members of the Regional Assembly that existed at the time. We worked very closely with CEDA, and I think we led the way to a certain extent in developing the spatial strategy. And it was about 95% aligned with CEDA's regional economic strategy. We were fearful that the government was going to invent a new and less democratic way of planning regional economic development and regional spatial planning. By a lot of hard work across the country, local government persuaded this government that there was a space for the democratic input continuing, and I think you'll find the new single integrated strategy is an improvement on what we had before. It has democratic input. Paul Carter will tell you about that from the Leaders Board. It has business input from the CEDA Board, and it will be very much a joint effort. I'd like to think we've got the base already for that, but I think it's a good way forward.
Thank you, Keith. Any more questions? Yes.
Thank you. Marianne Abbey, Regional Associate for the Improvement Development Agency, part of the LGA. We've heard about engagement with the business sector and with local authorities. And I just wondered about the focus with the voluntary sector or the third sector. I chaired a conference on the coastal communities a few weeks ago, and we heard a lot from those third sector organisations, how they're supporting. So I just wondered if you could enlarge on that, please.
I think this is a very important area. In fact, at the South East Delivery Council, which is chaired by our regional minister, Jonathan Shaw, and myself, and now for Rob to take over, we discussed the voluntary sector as a major topic only last week. It accounts for at least £2.5 billion of input into our GVA, so it's a big group, and there's a lot of people involved. But Pamela, there you are. Would you like to say a few words?
I will. Thank you very much, and thank you for the opportunity to actually build on those points that the Chairman's already made, because as well as working with representative groups at regional level, and I would single out RAISE as a very important partner there, it is important that we see that mainstream contribution which the voluntary sector makes, and I believe we have to also work with colleagues at the more local area, and perhaps through the new partnership and strategy boards, which we shall hear more about from Councillor Carter in a moment, to really reinforce the value which those third sector organisations bring as employers in their own right, as providers of opportunities for voluntary work, but crucially actually in providing services in a very economic way. We're aware that many approaches to the tendering of work, perhaps emanating from central government departments, I'm thinking of, for instance, of the Department for Work and Pensions, is proving very challenging for voluntary sector organisations. And I hope that through organisations such as the Southeast Economic Council that the Chairman's mentioned, we can continue to make that point very powerfully to ministers so that we can continue to have that diversity, not just of the very large national organisations, but of the plethora of smaller ones which do so much at local level. I could go on at great length, but I think I'd probably better hand over now. Thank you.
Thanks, Paula. Yes, a question at the back there.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Malcolm Parry, and I'm the chair of the Guildford Business Forum. It seems from the presentation by Pam that influencing investment in infrastructure is an important role of CEDA. You put in a lot of effort to improve the Hindhead Tunnel, and it's resolved, but possibly creating future problems locally. And the question really is, how can small organisations like the Guildford Business Forum influence CEDA to invest in issues associated with important towns like Guildford so that it continues to be an effective economic engine? Thank you.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I know that I went to the Science Park one day for a meeting, and I happened to be leaving at 5 o'clock. Well, actually, I couldn't leave till about 10 to 6, trying to just get off. So we do know about the problems that congestion can bring. It is also the success of that Science Park that has led to this, and we do treat this very seriously. We're going to be meeting with not only Surrey County Council, but Guildford Borough Council to discuss how CEDA can work more closely with them to improve things. But we look to organisations like your own to keep giving us the bullets to fire so that we can take these things to not only to our regional councils, but also to our national councils for development as well.
Do any of the other board members want to say anything? Rob, you're the local man.
No, I just also put a plea in for the local economic partnerships. I think that's a route through for local bodies to channel messages. But at the same time, as Jim says, there are direct meetings going on with local authorities. But don't forget your economic partnerships.
We have had some questions sent in advance of the meeting. Paul, have you got one of those? We will be answering all these questions on our website as well for any that we don't actually physically read out. So, Paul, do you want to choose one?
Yes, Gemma, if I just pick out a couple. One in particular from the Institute of Chartered Accountants, and a similar question from Trevor Osborne, Chairman of Southeast Excellence, the Advisory Committee. What are CEDA's plans for coping with a constrained fiscal environment across the public sector?
Do you want to say a few words about that? You're running a very big county council. What have you got planned for us?
Well, the answer is try to squeeze more out of less is the simple answer. And CEDA is trying to do that, as are local authorities around the southeast. And in the case of CEDA, we're taking some £3.5 million out of operating costs in order to release funds into the front line. But I think for all of us in CEDA and elsewhere in the public sector, we have to be absolutely realistic about what's ahead of us. And we are facing the, you'll see this in every publication, the toughest public financing environment probably of all of our lifetime. And in that environment, we have to make money work much, much more effectively than we have in the past. And we really do have to strip away any of the fripperies and get right down to basics. And so all of us are trying to make sure that we operate to the highest levels of efficiency and really concentrate on the absolutely crucial core things that we have to do. And in the case of CEDA, that means that some of the nice-to-do things that we've been doing in the past are going. And we are concentrating on those key areas of the region and those key industries and services that are the engine of economic growth for the future of this region. And to those who are suffering, I say sorry. But to the generality, I hope you will recognize that we really are trying to concentrate on what will make the most difference. As I think some of you may know, we inherited a lot of regeneration programs from different parts of government some years ago, and those have been pared down and in some cases now have ended. Some of that has gone, and as I think Pam alluded to, we are really concentrating on where we think we can make a serious difference. And that's the way it's got to be.
If I could just add a very quick word, I'm vice chair of an NHS Foundation Trust and work also a lot with education bodies, colleges and the like. And I think that, and linking to the earlier discussion also even about third sector organisations, I think that the public sector is also looking to what many of you here today from business have had to do in the last year, which is radically reappraise what you're doing and how you're doing it. And not just tighten the belt until you can't breathe, but actually say, let's fundamentally question what we're doing and how we're approaching it. And certainly within health, the more thinking and imaginative and able chief executives and boards that I see and work with are saying, yes, of course, there are massive efficiencies to drive out of the current system, but let's not assume that the way we've been doing things for the last 40 years is the right way. And I think that's an important challenge for many aspects of the public sector and a lot to learn from the private sector in that.
Thank you, Pamela. Well, I think that moves us on quite nicely, actually, to...